Social Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning, friends. Here we are in a beautiful Colorado morning. Welcome to Spiritual Engineering, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships.
Yes, we hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas and is looking forward to the start of 2012, a brand new year coming at us here.
Nice. No fear on 2012. And this is Patricia Strausser and Thomas Strausser, and we want to thank Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to come every Wednesday morning and to share with you these tools that we have found and they working in our lives and in the lives of other people. And please remember that we have a website, www.spiritual-engineering.com. We are constantly updating this website and just putting some nice information. And please shout us an email, let us know what you think, how you're feeling, what is in your mind, because this interaction is very important to us. And today we're going to talk about the difference between pain and misery. Life gives us pain, but emotional misery is optional. And it's important, dear friends, to make this distinction because we usually confuse these two words. One, pain. Life is going to give us pain. We're going to suffer. We're going to lose people that we love. When we love someone, we become vulnerable and we be affected. We have expectations, and we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. So life is going to give us pain. We're going to get diseased. We're going to get sick. That's the nature of life.
That's right. But the majority, by far, the vast majority of the negative emotions that we feel, the feeling down, these are related to misery. And this is such an important distinction because we can learn to avoid or minimize the misery in our lives. But let's really talk about what we said life gives us pain, but misery is optional. Let's look at the difference in these. As Patty said, pain is when we lose someone, when we hit the inevitabilities of life, what the Urantia book calls the vicissitudes of life. When we hit those things, that something happens that causes us to mourn, to grieve, a healthy disappointment, when something like this happens. But misery is a whole different story. Misery is those feelings that we have, those emotions we go through, such as anger, resentment, guilt, fear, anxiety, worry, all these different things. Now, some of these can be either one. They depend on the source of the feeling.
But some of them can go
either way.
However, I submit to consideration that some psychologists say that it's okay to be angry, that it's a healthy feeling, that it's okay to be in touch with those feelings. What do you think about that, honey?
Well, there's two things on that. First of all, I have to know that anger, the Urantia book says that anger is a physical manifestation of spiritual immaturity. It's not okay to be angry. It's part of being human. And it's our childish, animal-like nature that when we will feel anger. But as we mature, we feel less anger and we feel it to a lesser degree. So, yes, they may say that we have to feel angry. But the problem with that is if I accept anger as an okay feeling, then that means I don't have any reason to get rid of it or to minimize it. And what this is such a different thing, Patty. We've talked about this before. You know, as psychologists, and I used to teach anger management and stress management, and that's what one of the things that, you know, they talk about, how to manage these feelings. This is quite different. Spiritual engineering is quite different because instead of teaching you to manage it, it teaches you to avoid it. And it's a completely different concept. And I talk about it's like the rodeo, the bull rider. The people go on the bulls and ride those bulls for 8 seconds. And they really have to be very good, and tremendous athletes, to stay on that bull for 8 seconds. That is management, anger management or stress management. What we teach people is just not to get on the bull. It's a totally different concept. So, but these feelings, the main thing is that these feelings are all optional. We can learn skills to where we don't experience these to the depth, to the frequency or the depth to where they bother our life as much.
You mentioned something very interesting because that analogy with the riding the bull, it just drives home. And it means that when we are riding the bull, we don't know what's going to happen. We are at the mercy of that powerful animal, and that is like being at the mercy of our own anger or our own fear or our own worry. So the bull represents to me all those emotions that can get in any moment out of control because they are so unpredictable. So why do we get into the bull in the first place?
That's the whole thing. We don't have to get into it. I'm using anger, but look, there's a couple things on this. There are some feelings that can be either pain or they can be misery. It depends on the source. Let's look at guilt. There can be healthy guilt. Okay, there can be. When I do something wrong and I really feel a guilt over this, but I don't need to carry that guilt very far or let it take away from my life. But a lot of the guilt we feel comes because we do not live up to people's expectations of us or our own expectations of ourselves. So we have to learn, you know, how to separate these feelings out. But guilt, disappointment's another one. We can have healthy disappointment when we have expectations that are in line. You know, we expect people to tell us the truth, and they don't, then we can be disappointed. But if that person has lied to us 6 or 8 times, and then we expect them to tell the truth, we're setting ourselves up. So we have some of these feelings can either be pain or they can be misery, and we have to learn to separate that source out. Say, okay, why do I feel this way? What's the real reason? What's the source of this? And then to find if it's pain or misery, because what we do with pain and what we do with misery is two different things. Pain is inevitable. We're going to feel pain.
Let's talk in a relationship. How do we experience pain in a relationship? And that begins by the choice. What kind of partner we have in our lives? And you know, people take so lightly to be in relationships. They don't plan for relationships.
Oh, no.
People plan to buy a car for months. And yet, we just slide into these relationships. We don't know what kind of person is this one that we wanted today. And by doing that, we're setting ourselves up for disappointments because we don't know that person. So, and that can give you actually pain.
That really can. And the thing is, I talk about in the book about, I wanted to go build a house. You know, I wanted to build a house at one time. I thought, I know how to build a house. I didn't really know how, but I knew I could figure it out. I knew a house is something I could figure out how to do it. So I went out and talked to builders and talked to contractors and had a very detailed plan and blueprints on how to build this house.
Uh-huh.
And I went out and had relationships and never put nearly as much thought into having a relationship. I just run out and thought, well, I want to have a good relationship.
Yeah, she looks good.
And thought it would work out. But I put a lot more planning, like you're saying, into how to build a house than I would into a long-term relationship, getting married, having children, and having this relationship. And the thing is, we do that. We get into these relationships, and we don't put the thought into them or the planning, like you're saying. And then the problem is, until we have the spiritual engineering structure, this model for relationships that actually works, a lot of the tools and the things that are out there don't teach us how to build these extraordinary relationships. They don't teach us how to build relationships that last, relationships that fulfill what we want in a relationship. They don't teach us that. So we have to have the tools to do it, and then we have to use those tools.
Precisely, because the model they have is so different. They tell you how to have a good relationship, how to find that person, how to call that person. They teach you all those things that are centered in the other person instead of taking the attention in the foundation. You have to be okay with yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to know your liabilities, your assets, so you don't expect the other person to fulfill you. You don't expect the other person to fill that void because you are already complete. You are whole, and that person will enhance your happiness. It will bring your life to another level. In some way, it will make your partnership and your life easier. But we cannot expect that our partner will always fulfill that void if we have one.
No, and that's why we have the three types of relationships and how to do them. Again, it's back like building a house. You build a house, you put a foundation in, then you put the walls up, and then you put the roof on. Very straightforward, very common sense. You do the same thing if you want the very best relationships. The foundation is the relationship with God, our spiritual relationship. The walls that support every relationship we have is our relationship with ourselves. And then the relationship with other people becomes a crowning achievement, the roof. But what we do and what all the tools out there teach us is to how to focus on that roof, how to look at that relationship with the other person and say, ah, here's what I got to do to have that great relationship. And you can't put the roof on a house until you've got the walls solid and you've got a foundation. And there's some great tools out there, these matchups, these dating services and things like that. They have some great psychological tools to help you evaluate that relationship with the other person. But what they miss is that we cannot have a good relationship with another person until we have a healthy self-relationship. Love your neighbor as yourself.
And how having the foundation established in our life is going to help us when we go through pain in life.
That's right. Okay, that's a great question because let's look at pain and misery. Again, life gives us pain, but misery is optional.
Let's say that partner cheat on you.
Cheat on you.
Yeah, cheat on you. That partner that you have. Okay?
Betrays you.
Betray you.
And that's what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. How do you handle that betrayal? Now, let's look at this because when we have these feelings, what we call misery, the anger, the guilt, and all these feelings that stir us up and we sometimes live with and we think that's part of life, the symptom, the reaction almost always comes from a relationship with another person, the root, the peak. The problem always lies in our self-relationship, and the solution, if we can't find it in the self-relationship, is in the foundation, the relationship with God. So, see, the symptom, I get angry at you, do something. Betrayal is a great example. I get hurt, I get angry, I feel betrayed, I feel disappointed, I get through all these emotions.
That's the symptom.
That's the symptom.
Uh-huh.
It's because of what happened in that relationship with another person. Those feelings are brought out, those feelings are initiated or exacerbated in that relationship with another person. The problem is, here's the problem, is why do I react this way? Why do I get so upset about what you do, what you think, what you say? Why am I so disappointed in you? Is it pain or is it misery? Is it a healthy disappointment? If you betrayed me, then that is probably a healthy reaction. But what I'm saying is, why have I put so much trust in you, so much value in you, and allowed you to do this?
Okay. And someone may say, okay, but someone betrays us, naturally we're going to get hurt.
Absolutely.
We're going to feel pain. And what is the difference between experiencing that pain, which is actually pretty normal, that if someone betrayed us, we're going to feel like that, but not to let it evolve into misery?
That's a good question because this... an emotional wound is like a physical wound. We can get a physical wound, and we have to take care of it, or it can become infected and become much worse. And that's what I say. We get through the pain, that pain of betrayal, that pain that people cause us, and we have tools. We have, again, the three different resources, physical, mental, and spiritual resources to help us overcome and transcend and work through that pain. But if we don't do that, if we blame the other person, and this is a key, if we blame that other person for what happened, if we develop a resentment and allow that resentment to take over our life and dominate our life, then we sink into the abscess of misery. and that's the infection that can come stay with us for a long time and completely destroy us. We have to recognize that these feelings that we're going through are our reaction. They are our feelings, and we cannot put the blame on the other person. As long as we blame the other person for the way we feel, we can't change until they change. They have to apologize. They have to say they're going to do something different until we can change. So we have to accept that these feelings are ours. These are ours. They're down inside of us, and we own them. Then we have a pathway to change. Then we can tap into that wonderful mind that we have and use our mind and our physical resources and our spiritual resources to transcend that pain and move forward. But we don't bog down into the misery. So as we get hurt, as we go through these feelings, how long we stay in them and how deep we stay in them depends upon a couple things. We have to recognize that these are our feelings. We have to take full responsibility that they are our feelings. It has nothing to do with whether the other person's right or wrong.
Because there's another very important element, which is we are not responsible and we have no power whatsoever over other people's actions, thoughts, decisions. They can do whatever they want, and actually we don't have any control over their will. And this will, these decisions are going to create problems in our lives if the motives are not right. So are we going to react or not? I think that the real power is if we can separate ourselves from the other people's decisions and say, I will not react. They have the right to make their own decisions.
That's right. And there's nothing I can do. I cannot control them. I cannot control what they do. I'm not responsible for what they do, but I am responsible for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So life will give us pain. People are going to hurt us. People are not. They are going to be at times untrustworthy. They are going to break our trust. People are going to leave us. People are going to die.
Even our best friends.
Our best friends. These things can happen.
Let me tell you, I want to share. I've been going through a bout of little bit of betrayal with my friends, with my family, with very close people to me. And this has happened in the last month. And I have questioned, what is this happening? What is it that is required for me not to be affected by these close, intimate friends that are just being totally, I don't understand their behavior. And I just reached the point where I don't need to understand.
No.
They have the motives to be how they are, and I'm not going to dwell into the pain that they have given me, because basically it's not good for me. It's going to make me miserable. It's going to separate me from God, from my center. And I have to learn, okay, they're human. I'm going to forgive them. And maybe I need to change the nature of the relationship and just see them as basically acquaintances, not as close friends, because they have broken my trust.
And when people break that trust, and this is part of life, people do, we have to look at it again, back to that, was it a healthy trust? Did I have a reason to extend this trust? Had they proven their trustworthiness? Had, by example and by their life and by their actions, had I extended that trust in a healthy way because there was a valid reason there, or because I simply wanted to? Did I extend my trust without really evaluating or really thinking about it? Did I just trust this person and assume that they're going to be this way? And that's when we get this disappointment and we get this feeling of hurt, we have to look at us. And you're right, we can't, you know, blame them, but we have to look at us and say, okay, why did I extend this trust? Was there a reason? And if there was, sometimes there's a healthy reason, and somebody just does something or somebody changes and does something totally unexpected. And we have to realize that is human nature. People are not always going to do what I want them to do or what I think they should do or what they really should do. It's pretty obvious sometimes. People do things against their own good or against our good, and we don't know always what is going on in that person's life.
Uncertainty, inabilities, tribulations are part of life's menu. And we're going to find them because we cannot predict other people's behaviors. And if I have a friend that we've been friends, let's say, for 20 years, and then all of a sudden my friend started to change her behavior, I had no power whatsoever. So there is going to be a level of disappointment in life. is going to be there, and I should expect that. So when it happens, I can tap into my spiritual and mental resources so I do not dwell into misery.
And forgiveness, that's another important point that we talk about, is when we forgive somebody, we have to totally release the feelings.
Right.
But we never want to forget the experience. I really don't agree that we should forgive and forget. Forgetting means that we release the memory of the experience and we'll go right back and repeat it. So we don't always want to forget, but we have to be able to release the feeling, the emotional attachment to what happened, and not have the feeling that goes along with it. And it's so wonderful because the power to do that, the power to actually reach that state of forgiveness or that state of where we can let go of these feelings of misery. We all have that power. It's the spiritual power inside of us that can direct our thinking, that can shift the way we think, can shift our mind. This is a spiritual energy. It's a real force that can ease our troubled mind and help us think in ways that are more forgiving and more loving and more beneficial to us as individuals. We can think in ways that learn to help us.
And there are different ways to do this release, and there are symbolic ways, and some people do rituals, some people pray. Yesterday I found something very interesting. It's this meditation when you relax, you close your eyes, and you imagine that this light of God that lives inside each one of us is coming and is purifying our mind. But also we can talk and we can ask Jesus to let us to use his mind.
Yes.
Or we can ask God to help us to relieve from that emotional misery. And we can give it like giving a gift to God. God knows how to do with that, right? So, and after that, it can be many different ways to release these emotions because we cannot sometimes. They overpower us.
And the thing is, this is so important. We cannot always depend on our mind to get over our mind. This is something that is something, I mean, our problems are caused and exacerbated in our mind. Our mind is a wonderful mind, but it has to have direction.
Yeah.
And it has to have power. And that is what the spiritual source within each and every one of us is meant to do. That spiritual light inside of us is meant to give our mind power and direction and energy to change. This is the power of the transformation. This is the power of something that we can that actually does a change. Now, I found my own experience that this spiritual energy is what I have to depend on to shift my mind when I'm mired down in misery.
Right.
But it not only works in my mind, it not only shifts the way I think so I can see my responsibility, my part in this, and how I can change and bring me the hope for change, but it shifts the way I think and react when this event happens and when I consider this. But it really brings a peace, a balm. It actually is like putting a soothing lotion
right.
on my feelings. It brings a peacefulness in addition to the way I think. So this spiritual energy really gives me both things. It gives me the shift in my mind, and it brings the balm, the peace, the serenity into my own emotions.
And what you just say is so interesting because I often find many people who, let's say, they don't believe in God. They don't think that it's a higher power. They don't think that there's nothing else but their mind. And I wonder how these people deal when they face tribulations and trials in life. If their own mind has been conditioned, has been training to think in certain way, that mind is not going to change just by the intention. And this is a problem that I have sometimes with people who say, you know, the mind, it is all that it is. Whatever you wish or whatever you desire, it will happen. And I have a little quandary with that because I know it. I've been thinking in certain way for 20 or 40 years. It's going to be very difficult to break that pattern. And to quote Newton's first law of motion, you know, a body at rest will continue at rest, unless a exterior force it will make a move or change direction. And that happens with my life and my emotions as well. If I continue what I've been doing, I will continue feeling the same way. If nothing changes, nothing changes. So what it means to me is I have to exercise an external force. I have to use resources out of my mind to make my mind change, to produce that transformation. Otherwise, I will continue thinking the same way and I will continue suffering and dealing with problems in the same way that that my mind is conditioned, is trained to do.
Yes, and it is, and it's a totally shift. It's a different way of thinking. As we've mentioned before, I have tremendous respect for psychology and for counseling. They have some wonderful tools. And I started this journey many years ago. I went out and got a master's degree in psychology. I thought they had the answers. And I found, you know, they have some great tools, but I ran into some pretty miserable psychologists too. I mean, you know, they didn't have any insight into the healthy relationships. They had some great tools, but they didn't have the deep understanding of what really causes these things, because psychology and counseling and a lot of the day has become so secular. It's like the rest of our world. We depend on our mind, our mental and physical life arenas,
right,
I call them, to solve the problems. And they completely neglect or negate or disparage the spiritual life arena. And so I found that while psychology and counseling often have some great tools, they don't always have the answer because they don't bring all three of these together, the physical, mental, and spiritual, and how to integrate them. And there's other sources out there that have some great things to do, to teach you some great ways to handle these things that do look at this. And what we try to do with spiritual engineering is to integrate these, to unify these three life arenas, physical, mental, and spiritual, in a way that brings a uniformity, a complete approach, an integrated approach to life. And we understand that the physical is always subordinate. It's meant to be the subordinate part of our lives. And the physical is whether it's our body, but everything in our environment, the house, the car, the money, all these physical things are not as important.
The relationship.
The physical part of that relationship. And then the mind. The mind, we have been gifted with a tremendous, marvelous, magic, magnifying machine in this mind. It's a wonderful thing. But the mind is meant to coordinate between the physical and the mental and the spiritual. It's meant to coordinate our actions, to plan, to think, to organize. But the mind is not meant to give us direction, to give us purpose in life, and that's the spiritual part that is inside of us. That's meant to give us our direction, our values, our sense of why we belong, the belongingness that we have to not only to other people, to the whole universe, but this spiritual force inside of us is also the power, the energy of the transformation. This is the energy that drives and powers the transformation. So we have to be able to use all three resources, physical, mental, and spiritual, in a way that absolutely produces answers. And this is why I think science has a place. Science can validate the effectiveness and the efficiency and the efficacy of the spiritual transformation when it only looks at the results. It doesn't try to evaluate the spiritual power or anything, but when we look at the results and evaluate the results of what the spiritual transformation can give us, these results are verifiable, they're repeatable, and we can consistently get these same results when we access our own inner spiritual power and depend on this power for direction, purpose, and the power to change. And that's how we integrate. That's how we unify personality. We use all three life arenas in the way they are meant to be used, the natural order of things.
Honey, what you just say is so profoundly inspirational to me, because what you're saying is each life arena has a different function. They're not supposed to be harmonized.
Well, we're running out of time.
What happened?
We're running out of time.
Well, funny. We will continue this. Thank you, dear friends, for being with us in the chat line, and we will see you next Wednesday.
We got wrapped up. Love you. Have a great new year. Spiritual Engineering - spiritual-engineering.com. Thank you.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary